Well, if you'll get your copy of God's Word and turn over to Matthew chapter 6, we're going to do something a little different today. When I write and prepare for Sundays, because of our bulletin and all those kind of schedules, I try to be done pretty much by midweek. And occasionally, God lays on our heart, we got to talk about maybe a little different approach than what's in there. So you're probably going, well, where's he going today? We're still going to talk about the same issue, because I want you to know that this issue today is an issue that it cuts across every one of our lives. Every one of us are good at worry at some degree. Every one of us have figured out how to worry, right? In fact, I think we were born with it, and we just kind of come along with it. And Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, he talks about this issue, and he just kind of, I've told you all this before, often I prepare sermons, and I'm really writing and thinking about my own life and what God is speaking to me and what he's saying to me, and y'all are just kind of along for the ride. So you're along for the ride today, because can I tell you something? I really struggle with this issue. I mean, I really struggle with this issue. Probably even more than my wife realizes, when she knows me as well as anybody. But here Jesus in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, is comes along in the middle of this Sermon on the Mount and this conversation he's having with these basically poor people who live hand to mouth, who barely have resources to rub together to pay for the next meal, who don't know who's going to control their lives politically. They don't understand exactly all the things that are happening around them socially. And he says to them, therefore. Now, somebody once told me that in the Bible, when it has the therefore, you ought to stop and ask the question. You've heard this? What's it therefore? Okay? There's a reason there's a therefore statement. And so Jesus has been coming along. He talked about a lot of issues up to this point. He's talked about all kinds of things that they're dealing with and things that they're struggling with. And he comes to this point, he says, therefore. These people, basically poor Jewish peasants living under the thumb of Roman domination, helpless to make a significant difference in their own lives, fear was their constant companion. Worry was what they dwelt in all the time. I have a friend of mine who serves as a missionary in Bolivia. We were his wife and I were in high school together in the same class, and he was a couple of years ahead of us, and they live in Bolivia, Cochabamba, Bolivia. You're going, where? Is that in Europe? It's in South America, for those of you who don't know. And they just came off their furlough, and they just went back to South America last week. And he posted on his social media account this week an interesting comment about worry. You know, some of us are worried about an election coming up. Either way, you swing on that issue, let me challenge you as your pastor, go vote. One way or the other, vote. Just be there. But he posted on his social media account this. He says, you know, we were in the States for 9 months, and we've come back to Bolivia, and we're back in this community, and we're looking around and going, wow, you know, no matter who wins, it's still going to be way better than 90% of the world. And he says, on top of that, God's in charge anyway, isn't he? And that's the tie-in here. I want you to understand that whether you're worried about an election, whether you're worried about finances, whether you're worried about health issues, whether you're worried about buses breaking down on the highway this week, some of you are there. God has a word for you. Therefore, verse 25, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day in its own trouble. Father, I pray that as we look at this description that Jesus is challenging a group of peasants on the seashore of Galilee so many years ago to consider how not to let anxiety run their lives. Father, I pray that we would hear those words afresh, that we would hear those words anew today, and that we would not allow fear and anxiety to run our lives, but we would trust you in every aspect of life. In your name we pray, amen. Now, the PowerPoint is right, because that's what I sent to the individual who puts that together for us. So this is not their fault. This is my fault, okay? And we're going to use some different words here. Now, if you like the outline that I came up with early in the week, feel free. Put it in your notes and you're good to go. But I came up with some different words that go with them today that are not alliterative. You know, I like to do that occasionally. But I think they're more descriptive of what we're dealing with. So first of all, Jesus talks to them about trusting with, and it says your possessions. And I want you to put in there instead this, to trust God with my stuff. Okay? You know what your stuff is, don't you? It's all that stuff that we have to work on in life, right? Whether it's washing clothes, mowing the yard, taking care of the things that you have, all the stuff that we all seem to accumulate, right? Trust God with your stuff. What we have first here is a call to abandon an anxiety about the stuff that we have in life, the possessions we have in life, and what we have here is a group of people who are struggling to even make ends meet. He says, why are you, they don't have issues like we do. They didn't have to worry about whether we buy the new iPhone or not, okay? They didn't have to worry about whether you can get on an airplane because the new Galaxy S7 might blow up, okay? They don't have those issues. We do. And what he's talking to them about is this. He says, don't let the stuff of life begin to drag you down. See, they're struggling with stuff like this. What are we going to eat? What are we going to have for lunch? What are we having for the meal next time? What are we going to do here? They face struggles about whether we're going to have enough clothes when the winter comes or not. They find themselves living in a difficult situation, and yet Jesus looks at them and says, trust God with your stuff. Trust God with your stuff, your possessions, your things. He's telling them, don't get anxious about whether you have enough in this old world. Because I am God, and I will take care of you. One commentator said this. If you want to write this down, it's a great quote I came across this week. He said this, worry is practical atheism. Worry is practical atheism and an affront to God. When we look at our stuff, we go, I don't know how I'm going to take care of this. I don't know how I'm going to provide for this. What am I going to do here? How am I going to get this? What we're saying is we don't really trust God, do we? I got to take care of this. I got to fix this. I've got to do this. I've got to. Guess what? Our God is big enough to take care of all of our piddly little stuff. Every bit of it. So trust God with your stuff. Second, I put person in the outline, but I want you to hear this. Trust God with my being, B-E-I-N-G, being, who you are. So look at verse 27. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to your life, to your span of life? How many of you can worry enough to get older? Paraphrase. And why are you anxious about clothes? Look at the lilies of the field. They grow. They neither toil. They don't spin. And yet I tell you this, Solomon, you remember Solomon, the guy that was so wise and so wealthy, he, in all of his glory, didn't have everything that the lilies have. So Jesus addresses this issue of who you are, of your being. And notice he speaks about a tendency for us to what? We worry about how long we're going to live. We worry about whether we're going to have enough resources. We'll get to that in a minute. To not have to go to the retirement home that nobody wants to go to. We worry about the things that are going to happen. Some translations translate that a little bit differently. They translate it as, how many of you can add to your height? I got to tell you, I don't want to add to my height. I'm tall enough, okay? But I wish some days I wasn't quite so tall. You know, I'd fit into a few cars I could drive that I'd really like to have. I'm just telling you, there's a struggle being tall. And his challenge is this. He's talking about their personhood, about who they are. And what he means, what I mean by this is this. Those are the areas that, can I tell you, you got no control over when you're going to die. Did you know that? Well, I'm worried about when I'm going to die. Why? God knows the time. I'm worried about whether I'm tall enough or not. God's got you the right height. I wish I was shorter. I wish I was taller. I wish I was less round. I wish I was. Why are you worrying about that stuff? What I want you to understand is there's a lot of things about your person, about your being, about your existence that you really don't have a lot of control over. See, can I tell you, some of you are kind of outspoken. Okay, some of you are really outspoken, all right? And some of you are really quiet. Some of you are really organized, and let's just be honest, some of you aren't. Some are good with people, and some of you really stink at it, okay? Now, you can work on those areas, but at the end of the day, you are who God created you to be. So trust him with your person, trust him with your being, trust him with who you are. See, you can become better in many areas, but the reality is you're going to have to work within the confines of who God created you to be. You go, well, I don't like who God created me to be. Really? You don't like the work of holy God in your life to make you like you are? Well, if I was like so-and-so, I'd be better. No, if you were like so-and-so, you wouldn't be like God wanted you to be. Trust him with your being. Trust him with who you are. Trust him with how he created you to be. So trust God with your stuff. Trust him with your being. Trust him with your direction, or my direction is the word I want you to see here. It says progression. I got a little crazy with alliteration this week, so I apologize. But the idea is valid. It's this idea of moving forward in life. Where are you going? Look at verse 30. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? Jesus says, let's think about this. Why are you worried about where you're going in life, your progression in life, your direction in life? Why are you worried about that stuff? Well, I need to think it through. I didn't say you shouldn't think about what you're going to do next. That's not his point. His point is do you trust God to take you from where you are today to where he wants you to be tomorrow? Well, I don't know if he can do that or not. My God can yours? You know, he uses an interesting imagery. He talks about wildflowers. I lived in East Texas when I was in junior college, but not this part of East Texas. And we've got a weed. I think it's a weed. It looks like a flower. You know what I'm talking about? I want to know the name of this someday because I've got some in my yard. They come up around this time of the year and they shoot up a stalk. Have y'all seen these? And they put out a red flower at the top. Any of y'all seen those? I think those are so beautiful. In my yard, I have 6 or 7 of them. You know what I did to get those in my yard? Not a thing. Nothing. I didn't water them. I didn't plant them. I didn't fertilize them. I didn't work on them at all. And they pop up almost overnight, don't they? And you're probably going, why would you want those weeds in your yard? Those are weeds. They are weeds, aren't they? No? Are they weeds? It's a wildflower. Is that what it is? What are they called? Does anybody know?
Surprise lily.
Surprise lily. Okay. Well, it surprised me when it showed up. I can tell you that. I didn't know it was available. I'd never heard of it before. I had three or four about on the edge of the property. I got to tell you, I moved some of them this fall as they were fading into the flower beds up by the house so I can have some next year, and I'll know where they're going to come up at. I won't be surprised next year. But what I want you to understand is I did nothing other than move them and hope they're going to survive. That's the point he's trying to make here. It says, you think, well, I don't know where I'm going to be tomorrow. I don't know what my progression in life is going to be. I don't know what my direction is going to be. I don't know where I'm going to go to college. I don't know where I'm going to work. I don't know where I'm going to do this. I don't know where that. Guess who does? Our God. Our God knows exactly what's next in your life. He says, I've got a plan for you. I've got a purpose for you. I've got a direction for you. I've got a thought for you. I've got a thing for you. You don't have to worry about it. Isn't that encouraging? Well, I don't know. So trust God with your stuff, with your being, your direction. Look at verse 32 and 3. Trust him with your portion, your place in life. And this is a little different than the direction in life, but what he's got for you. Look at verse 32. For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Jesus is telling them to do basically this. Trust me with where you are. Now, we're not going to ask for a show of hands, but how many of you don't like where you are? Some of you go, I don't like this part of my life. I don't like this season of my life. I don't like this moment of my life. I don't like having to deal with this illness in my life. I don't like having to deal with this problem in my life. I don't like having to deal with this in my life or that in my life. Any of you? Is it possible that God has you where you are as part of his grand design? To transform you from what you were to what he wants you to become by taking you through this place in life. Verse 33 is so revelatory here. Look at verse 33. He says what? Seek when you get time, when you think about it, when you get around to it. Is that what he says? He says what? Seek first the kingdom of God. God, what do you want? What's your purpose right here? What's your purpose in this moment? What's your purpose here? What's your purpose with where you got me right now? Some of us are asking that question, aren't we? Why do you have us right here, right now? What are you doing? It seems like I could be more effective somewhere else. I could be more effective in a different job. I could be more effective if I was out of high school, or I was more effective if I was here or there or that. Maybe God has you right where you are because this is your place right now in God's big design. He says, guys, he's looking at them going, let your life align with me instead of expecting me to align with you. So trust him with your stuff, your being, your direction, your place in life, but also trust him with your now. Your now. You're going, isn't that the same as where we are in life? I want to come down just a little bit closer than just the general where I am in life. I'm talking about the now, the today, the moment you're in right now. Look at verse 34. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow. Any of you anxious about tomorrow? I know some of you are. Nope, we're letting that go? Good. We're going to trust God. Don't be anxious about tomorrow. Tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient is the day to its own trouble. What he's essentially telling us is this. Why do you want to live your life in what might never happen? Why do you want to live your life focused on what may never come? Well, what about, what if, what if, what if? I got to tell you, I grew up with the what if king. Do you know, my dad, some of you have met him, he likes to say that we're brothers because he thinks it's funny, but he hasn't fooled too many people with that line, I can just tell you. But anyway, he is the what if king. You know what a what if is? You know what the what if, you know these are the people who go, what if you did? I want you to know, when we lived down in Southeast Texas, we'd go to visit my parents in Dallas, okay? We lived down there for almost 8 years. every single time we get in the car to leave to go to Dallas, I want you to know there's only about two routes that are viable from those two parts of the state of Texas. He goes, well, you could go, or you could go here, or you could go, or you could go through this town instead of this town. I hear they're doing a little road show. What if you did this? What if we went here? What if? And he'll do that with everything in life. I have learned finally at 50 to not bring up some things to my dad because it drives me nuts. Because he comes up with the what ifs. I think I'm going to memorize this verse and just start quoting it every time with him. Dad, therefore, don't be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Why are you worrying about tomorrow? Why are you worrying about it? I have to confess, I've already started developing my dad's funeral message based on the what if, by the way. He's not sick as far as I know, but I'm ready. What if? What if we trusted God with our right now and let him take care of tomorrow? Tomorrow's going to have its own problems. You don't even know what they are yet. You know why? They're tomorrow. Stay right here. Stop. Trust God. Right here. Three things I want you to see and I'll be done. First, God sees the big picture. I want you to hear a truth this morning, and it is an amazing truth, and it's one that I think we have to remind ourselves again and again and again, especially for those of us who have said yes to follow God. Yes, we're going to listen to his voice. Yes, we're going to follow the Lord Jesus. We've got to be reminded again and again, before we were ever conceived in the mother's womb, the God of the universe looked into our lives and said, here's what's going to happen. Let that sink in. The God of the universe knew before you were born everything that would happen in your life. Does that mean we don't have any free will? That's not the issue we're talking about this morning, so don't go there. We're talking about knowledge here. He looks into your life and see, he knew when you would be born. He knew where you would be born. He knew who your parents would be. He knew what the things that would interest you in life. He knew what abilities you would have, what talents you would have. He knew when you would encounter the gospel for the very first time. He knew the moment when you would finally say, yes, Jesus, I'll follow you. And if the God of the universe can see that much detail in your life, don't you believe that he's holding your life in his hand? And if this God has the grand design of your life in his hands, why are you allowing anxiety to become the big hairy monster in the room of your life? What about if we just trust God? Because he knows it all. Too much. He knows what's going to happen. He knows the details. He knows the big picture. He knows it all. Not only does he see the big picture, can I tell you this? God plans the small details. I want you to understand, not only does the God of the universe look down at your life and say, okay, here's where they begin, here's where they end, here's what's going to happen, here's what they're going to do, and this is what they're going to follow. He got it all. He knows the details. I'm talking about the little details, you know. I'm going to just tell you, I think he knew what socks you were going to put on this morning. You go, oh, God doesn't care about that kind of stuff. Oh, yes, he does. He says, I care about the intimate details of your life so much that I know it all. Here he was talking to a group of people who are having a struggle, I think, grasping the depth with which God cared about them. They lived in a difficult time, difficult place. They lived hand to mouth. They had a struggle in life. They didn't know where the next meal's coming from. They didn't even know if they'd be alive tomorrow or not. And so when Jesus says, look at the birds of the air. If I can take care of all of that detail about the birds of the air, if I could take care of the details of the wildflowers that literally in the Middle East will pop up one day and be in the oven the next day, don't you think that we can trust God with the details? Don't you think you could trust God with the details of what he has left? See, we live in a mindset that we do this. And I want you to know I'm as guilty as most of you, if not all of you. This is how most of us live our lives. We do this. We come, okay, I can handle this, and I can handle this, and I'll figure out this, and I'll take care of this, and I'll take care of this problem, and I'll use this. And you're going, well, I'm just using my common sense and the God-given brain that God gave me. I get that. But if we're not careful, we start leaving God out of the whole process. And we take care of, and we fix, and we correct, and we provide, and we do, and we do, and we do. And we finally sometimes get to the point where we go, I don't know if I can handle the next step. And then we go, oh, God, help me. And he says, I want to be involved from square one. Not when you get to the end of the rope. Now, I got to tell you, if you're at the end of the rope today, God's there with you. But how come we won't say, God, I want to trust you when I'm not at the end of the rope with what you want to do now? God plans the small details. He knows what he wants to do in your life and in my life. He is intimately interested and involved in every aspect of your life. How about we trust him? Third, God sees the big picture. He plans the small details, and he provides for everything we need. There's a detail I want you to see this morning, that the God who created you and the God who made the way for you to be redeemed is also at work in your life and my life to bring about everything we need in life. Now, maybe we need to clarify a little bit, so let me try here. Is it possible that the reason you become anxious, that I become anxious, is because we are so focused on what you want, you miss where God wants to lead? Let me try that again. Let me just kind of lay it out there. Is it possible that most of us are just so selfish that we want our way instead of God's way? And we don't trust God in every aspect of our life. So instead of trusting God in the area of finances, we go, okay, how am I going to fix this problem? How am I going to sort this problem? How am I going to move things around to fix the problem? How am I going to take care of it? Really? Instead of trusting God in the area of relationships, you go, okay, well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to find this, and I'm going to find that, and I'm going to accomplish this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to... Where's God? Instead of trusting God in the area of time management, you go, well, if I just got a new planner, that would fix it. Or if I began to do this better, I would fix it. Where's God? Maybe what needs to happen is when you sense anxiety rising in your life, and we all, let's just be blunt, we all struggle with this, don't we? We all struggle with anxiety. We all struggle with control. We all struggle with worry about what's going to happen, who's going to take care of, what are we going to do, how am I going to meet, how about when that begins to rise, we take a moment that says, God, I trust you. I trust you. I wish I knew the details of what was next. I wish I knew how you were going to take care of this. I wish I knew all that. But regardless, I trust you. Now, here's what's going to happen. Many of us will do this. We'll start to wander over and go, well, I need to fix this. And this is, come back. To what? I trust you. I trust you. But what about over? What? Say it with me. I trust you, God. I trust you for everything in my life. I want you to know that the moment you trust Christ with your salvation, he began in that moment to provide everything you need to be the person he wants you to be. If you were willing to trust him then, why aren't you willing to trust him now? If he's good enough to save you, isn't he good enough to keep you? If he was good enough to save you, isn't he good enough to carry you through? this process where we find anxiety beginning, we have to say, no, I want to have confidence in you. I want to have trust in you. I don't have to know all the details of everything that's going to happen. I'm going to trust you with all of this. Because otherwise, and this is our conclusion, anxiety, what it does is it reveals a lack of genuine trust in God. We go, I don't trust God. Please don't be the person who doesn't trust God. Trust Him with your salvation. Trust Him with your possessions. Trust Him with your time. Trust Him with your personality. Trust Him with who you are. Trust God now. And maybe some of you this morning need to make that decision. You need to trust God with your eternal life. We'd love to talk with you about that, to nail that down. Some of you need to trust God, not for your salvation, but because you've taken control away from God and you said, I can take care of this myself. Maybe you need to trust God there. My prayer for you this morning is that you would say, God, I trust you in everything, and I give it to you. Father, I pray right now this. We spend a few minutes just responding to you. Father, whether it be that we make a decision to come forward or not, that, Father, we would respond to you with a complete surrender that says, I trust you. I trust you with my salvation. I trust you with my life. I trust you with my possessions. I trust you with my family. I trust you with everything in my life. Because, Lord, without you, where would I be? Father, I pray for those who need to make some kind of decision today. Father, whether they're in this building or maybe listening on the radio, I pray that they would respond to you in faith and say, Jesus, I trust you in this area, whatever it is. And that, Father, we would begin to live in that trust and we'd keep coming back to your presence saying, I trust you again. I trust you again to lead me through. We pray now that you would be free in these few moments as we spend responding to you, that your Holy Spirit would move, and that, God, we would listen and we would obey. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together.